Welcome to Messy in the Middle, the podcast. We are two realtors from two different coasts working to improve and grow. We believe you deserve to have a thriving business and live a balanced life. Your journey from ideas to implementation starts now.
Good morning, Jeffy. Ed here.
Like you don't know that. After like 3 years of doing this.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today.
This is a cool one. I got to tell you, when you first pitched it, I'm like, ooh, this is deep. This is intense. But it's so important. So important.
I know.
So give us a little backstory. Give us a little backstory on this.
Okay. So I did a workshop with Jeremy Patterson on one of my favorite lenders, and it was based around generational wealth. And we had people in this workshop from the ages of 75 to 21.
Whoa.
So everybody was in a different journey spot. So it was really cool to watch as this information unfolded. And basically, this series that we're going to do together is taking that information just a little bit deeper. That was one of the things that we got a lot of feedback on is, you know, and everybody needs a different space to go deeper. So we're going to do this, and then I'm going to, and you can share with your clients the pieces that go deeper for them.
Absolutely. And so why do you think this is important? Why does it matter, Jeff?
Well, one of the statistics that popped up was 77% of families report being anxious about their financial future. And that's a huge amount of people. That's a lot of anxiety floating around out there.
That's a lot of anxiety. And it's, you know, and a lot of anxiety comes from what is not known, right?
Correct.
It's like the unknown is what kind of can produce that. And
correct.
So what a great opportunity for us to kind of dive in and bring other people in and do this. So we're excited. It's going to be a 4-part series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me being the logical one, I kind of like to lay that one out and where we're going. I like a little. I like to see where we're going.
I know.
And so part one's going to be around that exciting topic of budgeting. But it's actually kind of cool. It's kind of cool when you get into it. But that's the foundation of everything. So we're going to be starting with budgeting.
Yep.
Part two, that'll be, you know, our next episode, will be a deep talk about compound interest and leverage. And it's really, really important, especially in real estate. So we want to talk about that. And it's important in life. So we'll go into that.
Absolutely.
Part three will be about investment strategies. And we're going to bring some experts in on that to kind of help out. Mm-hmm. And then part four is what we call protecting the nest.
I like that.
Yeah. And that's about, you know, after you go through this long, long journey, then what are the strategies to make sure that you don't, you know, screw it all up?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Hey, you had a good point on what generational wealth refers to.
Yeah. So generational wealth, what we're really talking about is it's the assets, the wealth, the resources that are passed down from one generation to the next within a family.
Right.
So it's all that stuff, right?
Right.
And that's a kind of an admirable goal. And if you're young, you know, you're kind of trying to build that stuff up, you might get some of that stuff. If you're older, you're thinking, hey, how do I do this the right way to kind of help my kids out, my family out, and not screw them up in the process?
Right.
Which is a real thing. And so it's not just like, hey, the mechanics of how do I, you know, what do I have and how do I pass that down? But it's also making sure you pass the knowledge and skills to that next generation so that they don't blow it.
Understood. And you know what we were talking about when we were doing the show notes? We were talking about the latte factor. The book by David Bach. You've read that more recently than I have, but give us just kind of an overview on that in case our listeners want to read that book.
Yeah. So again, the book's called The Latte Factor by David Bach. It's really geared for a younger audience. So kind of like high school to college to like just starting out after, you know, their journey, after young adults. And it's written as a parable. And it features this young woman who's starting her career in Brooklyn, and she's excited, and she's like completely behind the eight ball financially. And she figures out a way to kind of, you know, is taught the way to create financial independence and, you know, the road to being a responsible, you know, economic adult.
I love that.
It's written in a nice way. I've given it to clients for their kids. I gave it to my kids.
Great.
I read it. I really enjoyed it. So that's a great book to think about some of these concepts that we'll be talking about and doing that.
That's awesome. So I think it's important that our listeners understand that you and I and the group of realtors that we work with are really interested in the long term of our clients, which is why this even comes up for us. I mean, I don't know of many agents who are working in this arena, right? I have two great lenders, John Schindel and Jeremy Patterson, who both independently have told me maybe I should have been a financial planner because that's truly what I do with my clients. And it is. And if you haven't worked with our team, you wouldn't know that our ultimate goal for our clients is to see them lay a path wherever they are. Maybe they're first-time home buyers, maybe they're buying their fifth home and their investment properties, who knows? But each one of them has an individual plan that will take them to an end goal of being financially secure.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a great point. And again, it comes from us not being transaction oriented, but long-term relationship oriented. And we're here on the whole way. And I know a lot of clients, and I know when we bought our first house, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be here forever. I'm going out in a pine box. You know, I'll have this home the whole way through. And that's not just the way it works, right?
No.
And so we want to be there for our clients to help them make good decisions and to build that wealth. And then to, you know, we have the relationships for people to help on the different financial advisors.
Right.
And then real estate's a big piece when you're trying to build generational wealth. Real estate's a really big piece for a lot of strategic reasons we're going to get into in future episodes.
Yeah, exactly. So something that came up recently was that there was a survey done by the Motley Fool in July of last year that the median savings amount was $1,200. That's what people had saved. And that's down from $4,500 in 2022. And I want to throw this out there. I am not a perfect budgeter. I'm not even a great budgeter. Yeah. And you don't have to be perfect at this. This is an ebb and flowing thing. And I always look at it as kind of like you're going to stand naked in front of someone and expose all these things about yourself, right?
Yeah.
With finances. And people have such a hard time talking about it. It surprises both of us and most of the people I know. This isn't even something that's taught in schools, but this is what sets people up for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and that's a shocking statistic.
Oh my God!
That median savings is $1,200, and it's down. And this is a great example of like median's what you need to look at. It's right. In the middle. It's not the average. The average I think was around $38,000. I think we said
right.
But then you've got
based on a lot of people who have a lot of money.
Yeah,
this is the middle of America, right?
Like median home price, right? That's the way you do it.
Exactly.
So that's a really good one. And, you know, it gets back to the skills of you want to teach your kids and try to apply to like consistently save over time. This is this whole,
and I don't want to call you an elitist.
Whoa.
But this is this whole attitude that everybody is where you think they are, or everybody is where I think they are. That's not true.
Right.
And the problem is there's so much shame based around not having things put together. And I'm going to expose myself here too. Like the other day I had a conversation with a very good friend of mine who's extremely good at budgeting and extremely good at saving. And I said, I'm a little embarrassed to sit down with you because I know I'm not where I need to be. And his response was, hey man, we got to start somewhere. So let's just go get vulnerable. Let's go figure this out. And that's the piece I really hope that people will take from this, because this isn't just about sharing this information with your kids. This is about sharing this information with everybody, because we all have a different jump off point. Now, wouldn't it be great if we all had this conversation with our children, or that that conversation was had with us? Sure, it would be, but we're not all in that space. So that's where we want to talk about the describing the five spending buckets.
Yeah, we'll do that. And I think, no, that's a very good point. One of the other things is that money is meant to be spent, right? So if you don't 100%. allocate where it's going to go, it'll just slide right out of your fingers. And it's kind of like cheesecake is meant to be eaten, right? So if you bring that into your home, you'll eat it all.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm getting a little personal here. And then it's like, but if you don't allocate those slices, then all of a sudden you're up on your weight. And it's the same kind of thing. So before we get into the spending buckets, I do think we should talk a little bit about credit card debt.
Oh yeah.
Let's get that one out there now.
Let's get it out.
Okay, so my philosophy on this, I don't know where you sit.
Hi, my name is Jeffy, and I have credit card debt. No, I don't. I don't, actually, but that sounded like an AA meeting there.
Yeah, it did. Well, it kind of is, because I think the number one thing you have to do is pay that shit off. If you have it, pay it off.
Yes. And look, I'm going to throw this out there because we did not put this into our notes for today, but there is a very smart way to pay off debt. And if you're interested in that formula, the formula that I've shared, Jeremy shared, John shared, I would love to email that to you or share that with you. So please reach out and just ask for it, and I'll send it over or put it in the show notes. Yeah.
And I was going to say, we may do a little short on that too.
That might be a good idea.
10-minute takedown. So,
thumbs up on that one.
Thumbs up. But you got to pay that stuff off. And this will become more evident when we get into the power of compound interest. Because compound interest can work for you, or it can kill you if you're on the wrong side of it. And so that's number one.
Okay.
And the way I try to think about it is, I use credit cards all the time, but I never carry a balance. It's not a way to pay. It's a form of payment.
Right. And I also use credit cards for everything. I have two. I have one for my business and one for my home. And because I love to travel, I utilize a Capital One card that gives me miles, and I don't pay for my plane tickets. So, but again, that money is allocated, that those cards get paid off every single month. So
that's the key. That's
there you go.
The key. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the five spending buckets.
Yeah.
And then I think you're going to do more of a deep dive into those things. So this is just one kind of model on how to look at it.
Sure.
Again, big picture guy. I kind of like to look at I like to look at like five buckets.
I know.
So there's living. There's got your living bucket.
Yeah.
Savings.
Yes.
And savings we kind of think about as like emergency bucket, right?
Yeah.
It's like where the fire extinguishers and that puppy.
Sure.
Your retirement bucket, your investment bucket, and then our favorite bucket.
The dreams bucket.
The dreams bucket. And you gotta feed, you gotta feed it. You gotta feed the dreams.
Yeah. You know, this brings me back to years ago when Cody and I got married. And he wanted to talk about a budget, which is something that he had always done and I had never really done. And it made me feel very trapped. It made me feel very like, my dreams, you're going to squish my dreams, you know? And here's this guy. He's just like, he's looking at me like, what the hell? And this is beautiful. And I'm being really vulnerable here because I think that vulnerability will allow other people to be vulnerable. But when you have one person who's completely good at the big picture and one person who's like a full free spirit running around with her hair on fire, it's hard to pull.
But is that you? Or is that you or Cody? Which one is that?
I'm the hair on fire.
Just
Cody is the total planner. which I love. Like, that's beautiful. And I honor that in him. But the little piece inside of me wants to kung fu chop it. You know, I don't want to do that. Right.
Yeah.
So his famous words were, give me 3 months and I'll change your life. And I did. Mm. I followed the budget he laid out for 3 months. And it literally changed my life in 3 months. Now, that's a short period of time, right?
That's cool. I love that.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool. But okay, so just really quickly, before we go through kind of the different kinds of budgets, I want to go into the savings part of this.
Let's do it.
You and I have a very liquid and fluid job. We never know when our next check is coming. So for us, our savings, our reserve account should be higher than someone who has a biweekly or monthly paycheck. Right. It's very different. And within yours and my training with Brian Buffini, the goal was to have start at 3, get to 6, and then possibly be at 12, depending on, you know, where you are in your career and your life.
Yeah.
But a 3-month reserve, I think, is the absolute minimum that people should have. So before you start spending money on your dreams, before you start spending money in your investments, before you do anything, you need to get this reserve account done to protect you in a time of unknown.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I agree with that. You want to get, because it's your emergency fund and your savings. Yes. So I think 3 months, that's what you want to have. And like, hey, newsflash, like you have a real job, you're not a realtor, then like you can get laid off. You know, those things happen. And mm-hmm. so you want to have that money or, you know, your transmission blows up on you. Life happens.
Right.
So you've got to have that money in there.
Yeah.
The only thing is and we're going to talk about all these buckets. Retirement to me is number one. You always got to feed that one.
The 10%.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that. But
yeah,
it's savings and, you know, retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you don't do it, you'll never do it. Right.
I agree. And I think that if you, the budgeting, well, let's go through the budgeting really quick because there's different ways of budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with you on the retirement. But I think that if you don't have a safety net in place, like let's say that you're in a position where you're regrouping, something's happened, a life event has happened, and you're starting from scratch. I do think that there is a mental thing that happens when you know that you have security with money for the next 3 months,
mm-hmm.
even if you're not putting into your retirement for those 3 months to get to that point. Now, that there's a lot of people that would disagree with me, but for me to have comfort, to have knowing that there's a support system for me, that was more important at that time frame in my life.
So what we're hearing here too is like you got to kind of balance your priorities. I'm going to push back on that a little bit.
Okay, mister. You and Cody.
Yeah, okay. So, hey Cody, listen up. Listen to me push back here. So I would say that you've got to do a minimum amount. And so if you're in a series where it's like you can't do 10, do 5. Do something. And the reason is, and we're going to get into that next week, mm-hmm. is the power of compound interest.
Correct.
And bad habits. If you don't do it, there'll always be a reason not to do it.
This
and you got to start that engine because a dollar today is worth so much more than a dollar, you know, invested up.
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
But we'll dive into that. But
yeah,
that was my pushback.
There we go. See, there's a budget for everybody. Like, okay, you just gotta do it. Okay, and I keep calling it budget, but you know, lovingly Jeremy calls it a spending plan, which I think
spending
is way
plan.
Better.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't grow what you don't measure, and so if you don't have a plan for where your money goes, kind of like the Cheesecake Factor, it's gonna go somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we know that. All right. So there's many, many, many different kinds of spending plans, many, and you have to pick what's right for you. And obviously, if Ed chose any of these spending plans, his 10% would be going into his butt, into his retirement, no matter what. And same with Cody. Now, I might look at this budget and go, oh, I love that budget. That budget sounds great to me. They're fluid. They're fluid. Yeah. It's a plan. It's not, right. And that's, you know, a lot of people don't ever sit down and make these because they feel like they're punitive. They're restrictive. They're, you know, I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay, it's uncomfortable.
Pick one that is comfortable and play with it. Have fun with it. Give it that 3-month thing that Cody told me to give it. Okay. There's a traditional kind of budget, which is what most people do. And that's a detailed plan of income versus expenses. And you have it over a specific period of time and you revisit it. So for Cody and I, when we first started our budgets, that's kind of how we worked our budgets. Yeah. And we just, you know, this is our living expense. This is what we'll have left over. And then we're, you know, that money just kept rolling through.
Can I ask how did that work for you? How did that work for you?
I did not like
emotionally.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah,
that's what I
did not
hear.
Like it. So, and again, this is the problem. I think this is a personality issue. And if 50% of the world has the same personality that I do and 50% has the same as you and Cody, then it's, you know, there's a lot of friction there.
Hold on. I don't have that. Lynn's got that. So hold on. Now, like, my solution was like, she took care of it, right?
Because she's really good at it, right?
She's really, really good at it. Yeah.
But, you know, again, free spirit in me is like running around in the paddock like a horse, like, no, you can't touch me. Budget, schmudge it. But again, what it did is, and this is the serious, I'm sorry, you guys were being really funny about this, but the serious part about this is that you have to start somewhere, even if it's not comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Because the most important thing is for this whole series of generational wealth is getting your finances in order. And it doesn't matter what you make. It really doesn't. There are people that have lived on extremely limited budgets and have more generational wealth than I will ever build because it's where your attention goes, energy flows, right?
Yeah.
So this is important to me. I want to do this. And you can make that happen. The next one is zero based. And this is these two are probably the most talked about. And the zero based budget is an ever changing budget. So every month you go in and you say, well, this month I want to start saving for a new car, or I need to change the tires on my car, or we need to start talking about our roof. So you create a bucket for that. Right.
Yep.
And then all the other things. So you're whatever you have going on. And at the end of the month, whatever is left over from your income to what you've spent leaves that account. So if you have, you know, $1,000 left, that leaves that bank account and that is allocated somewhere, whether it's retirement, it's into your savings account, it's into your dreams account. It doesn't matter, but it doesn't stay in a place that gets spent.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
I personally like that one the best.
I do too. It's exciting to me because you can change it and you can have goals and you can, you know, you can do whatever. Okay.
You say like all the other stuff. And part of that is like we have highly variable income, right?
So yeah.
So that's kind of why it speaks to us. So highly variable. Highly.
Oh, man. Oh, so much fun to make fun of ourselves. Okay. Envelope budgeting. This is where you say, this is how much I'm spending on groceries. This is how much I'm spending on gas. This is how much I'm doing whatever. And then once that cash is gone, it's gone. Jeremy and Courtney.
For me.
I know. They make a game out of it to see who can have the most money left over at the end of the month.
I love that.
These two freaking people, I swear to God, they're millionaires and they literally live like this. And they love it. Dave Ramsey, research Dave Ramsey. He's got great budgeting ideas and tools. And one of those things was the envelope.
But I'd steal from the other envelope. That's the whole problem.
I know. One time I sat down with Jeremy and I'm like, look, I want to use my credit card because I like leverage and I don't want to do this. And he's all, Well, then that's not for you. I'm all, what if I used Monopoly money? He's all, why are you making this so difficult? And I'm all, well, I guess I just don't like that one. So we'll keep it moving. Anyway, oh, there's many, many, many different kinds. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to ramble them off. So 50, 30, 20, priority-based, incremental, value, pay yourself first. There's a whole bunch of different kinds. But the ultimate end story of this is that pick one. If it doesn't work, then pick another. Create one. Sit down with your partner and go, what are our long-term goals? Sit down with someone who knows more than you about money. That would be a really good place to start.
Yeah, and talk to people about it. But you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I know you glossed over those last ones, and I do want to get a little little bit of a hot on that.
All right,
The thing, this is so important. You're like, wait, they're talking about generational wealth and now we're talking about budgets. It all starts here. And
on the micro level. Small.
It's micro level. And you talk to like highly successful people and they'll say, oh my gosh, our first time when we did this, like I had like $200 to put into my savings account.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
But we worked at it and we got better and the income grew and we had good habits and away it went. And so, you know, it's like, we're heading toward here in 30 years where we have this generational plan, but it all starts with the budget.
Yeah, it does.
So give us those little highlights, like 50, 30, 20, like
okay,
one sentence. What
so,
is that?
So 50% of your income goes to housing and utilities, 30% goes to dining out and travel, and 20% goes to savings. So that's actually 10% more than you were talking about. Well, that's 20% to savings and debt repayment.
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's for everybody. Maybe that's for people that don't have high debt balances. But...
Where was the bikes? What goes to bikes?
There is the power of that. What's the term that they use? Like the power of one, or what is it? Where everybody, you know, if you have one bike, then you need two. If you have two,
N plus one. How many bikes do you need? N plus one.
Oh, God. Okay. Priority based.
Priority based.
Prioritized based on the importance to achieving financial goals. So that's a very fluid one. That's one where you sit down and go, okay, what's our Achilles heel? Oh, we have too much debt. So then the whole budget is planned around paying off the debt.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, hey, we don't have enough in retirement. The whole plan is based around getting money into retirement. So there's just, that's something you'd have to really work through. Incremental is adjusting the previous budget figures based on changing the income and expenses. That is probably more based for people like you and I that have very fluid paychecks.
Right.
Value, aligning spending with personal values. That's also maybe a little too fluid. Like you need to get a little tighter in there. Mm-hmm. So that you have a long-term goal. Yeah.
So what are my values?
Right. What are my values? With travel? I think I need 3 horses, maybe a new car. Whatever. Pay yourself first. Okay, so this one I think should probably be a part of every budget. And this is that point that you were making earlier where pay yourself first in your retirement, because the longer you have for the compounding interest, the better off you are.
Yep.
I'm so sorry, Cody, that I didn't listen to you sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. We all have that conversation at some point. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You were right. You were right.
So keeping it moving, we're going to talk, like you had this saying about everyone hates a budget.
Yeah, everybody hates a budget, but everybody loves a spending plan.
Right. It's just a mindset.
It's just a mindset. And that's like the goal guy in me, right? It's like, hey, I'm headed here. And then that's where that dream bucket comes in and you can get excited about it. And then things just kind of, you know, take care of themselves.
They do.
It's amazing how much money you can save when you have a long goal you're working toward, right? And you need that money to fund it. It's amazing what you can do.
You know, one other, let's end this on this note. Years probably 20 years ago, I'm sitting listening to Brian Buffini, you know, and life is pretty crazy at that point. I have three young kids and, you know, whatever, the world's turning and I'm a realtor. And he starts talking about automatic savings. When you don't see it disappearing every month into a savings account, it's the most beautiful thing. And then he said he and Beverly, his wife, then upped that as their income grew. They changed that automatic savings, but it's not an active thing. It's a passive thing. It just happens. It just goes into the savings account. It just moves itself out. Just, you know, if you just started there.
Oh, that's a great, that's like, okay, action right. item.
Action
that's
item.
Like a huge one.
There you
just
go.
Set that
action
up.
Action item number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Set that up. Pay yourself first.
Right.
And okay. Well, an action item, get rid of that. If you got credit card debt, get rid of it.
There's a lot of freaking action items. We're trying to keep this simple.
I know. I will okay. say, you know what? Yeah. I will share this. I know this is a long episode, but you know what solved me with carrying credit card balances?
What?
Using an Amex.
Yeah. Mine was because, Mary and Cody.
Well, there you go. Well, mine was Mary and Lynn too. If I'm being really honest.
I know. If we're being really honest.
But an Amex, you can't carry a balance, right?
Yeah.
So it teaches that behavior. It's like, oh, uh-huh. I'm not using this and I'm gonna pay it someday. It's like I gotta pay it at the end of the month. So it's just a method of payment.
Right.
And
my
that
card
changes.
Should be called the Cody.
The Cody.
If you carry the Cody card, you don't carry a balance either because there's dinner chat about what's on your credit card.
Yeah, there's that.
All right, everybody. Look, I know we dropped a lot of information. We hope you find this super valuable. And our next part in our series is compound interest and leverage.
Yeah, that's
so
a good one.
Exciting.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one. It's my fave.
All right, everybody.
See y'all later.
We'll talk to you soon. We hope you enjoyed the show, gained insight into having a thriving business and living a balanced life. We also welcome any ideas you would like us to discuss in future shows. Don't forget to like and share. We'll see you next week.
Hola.
Hola, you frozen.
I'm frozen. Not the musical, not the movie.
Let it be.
Never saw it.
Is that even from Frozen?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
Our kids are beyond that when it came out, right? So I would have been able to like recite all of that if I had to.
You would have.
All right. Are you ready, Jeff?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Oh, hang on. Let me turn on my light.
Hang on. I'm backlit again because that's the way I roll. I'm a backlit. Right. I'm a bitchin' backlit Buddha. I don't know what that's all about. All right. You ready?
Oh, man. I think so. Hang on.